It is 5 o'clock somewhere, and you're listening to the 5 o'clock somewhere real estate investor podcast. Brett Bernard, Nick Gibson, Nate, he's going to join us today.
Yes,
with Eagle Mortgage, and Jeff, what's your last name?
McNutt
is with us. And of course, our producer, Richard, the British prick, is here. So we're going to talk to Nate about foreclosures. We're going to talk about buying foreclosures, maybe rehab and flipping foreclosures, the process to bid on foreclosures. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
We are sponsored by Title Assurance and Escrow, a title company here in Cordova that does all of our closings, title work, escrows, and we only use Title Assurance and Escrow. That relationship is very important because we can get things done for our investors quickly and easily. So to speak with Title Assurance and Escrow, call 901-737-3332. Ask for Chris or April.
Welcome back to 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Podcast. We aren't experts. We actually know what the hell we're talking about. So, Nate, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, we've been bouncing around some ideas on foreclosures, which unfortunately has made a pretty significant rebound here in Memphis. There's a number of foreclosures from the list you've been sending me. These are homes that people have fallen behind on their mortgage. Mortgage company has filed for foreclosure, and they're going to be auctioned off at the courthouse steps sometime in the very near future.
Correct.
So the first thing that I want to talk about is when someone gets into foreclosure like this, how far behind are they on their mortgage? Do you know?
Typically, it's within 3 to 4 payments. Then they start the process after 4. And then after 6 payments default, unless they're in bankruptcy, then they begin to auction off the note for the balance.
Okay. And when you say an auction, it's a true auction, right?
It is a true auction.
You go and you bid on it. There's a couple of guys go up to the courthouse steps. They call the property address, start the bidding, and you...
The bid on the courthouse step, is that public notice?
It is public notice.
Sent through public notice.
Correct.
And how long does the whole foreclosure process take?
Depending on what situation is, about 6 months. 6 months behind, then they can auction off the house for the balance on the note.
All right. Did they remove you from the house before they start that auction process?
No.
How's that work?
Basically, after the foreclosure sale, if no one buys it, then the bank will contact a deputy sheriff and send them out to the process server and say, look, you're not the legitimate owner anymore due to this and this proceedings, and give them 60 days to leave or whatever they agree to.
So there's a potential that I could buy one of these houses, win the bid, and...
If you have cash in hand.
Yeah, all cash. I buy the house,
correct.
I get the deed, and there's still a occupant in place, and then that's when the sheriff's department...
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, understand the...
My concern is...
I don't care about your concern,
Jeff.
I didn't ask you if you're concerned.
I buy the house, okay? I know everything's sight unseen. Yeah, I can drive by. I may even be able to peek in the windows, whatever. But I'm buying it sight unseen.
That's correct.
What if I buy it, there's an occupant still in the house, and they're just pissed, and they just start taking sledgehammers and axes to the walls?
You would have to contact your attorney, and the attorney would have to serve them with a notice to leave.
I understand that, but what if they destroy the house on the way out?
That's just the risk you're willing to take with...
Before we get to the destruction of the house, Mr. Doom and Gloom over here,
he always
looks at the absolute worst.
You've seen that happen.
The sun's out, but you're going to get skin cancer.
You've seen that happen.
No, I have. Trust me.
With renters.
And that's been my concern since we started talking about this. But understand the way Tennessee foreclosure law works. So basically, in the state of Tennessee, you fall behind. I think once you get 60 days behind, 90 days behind, they will then engage a foreclosing attorney like Wilson's Associates. There's a ton of them out there.
Correct.
What they're going to do is they're going to send you a 60-day notice to cure the default. During that 60-day notice to cure default, and you don't cure it, then they're going to send you a final notice. And at the end of that notice period, they will then have Wilson Associates file legal paperwork in court to start a foreclosure action.
Bring in foreclosure proceedings.
So once that starts, you're probably looking at 90 days maybe. I've seen them go faster, sometimes a little longer. There's a lot of tricks you can, people use to try to stave off foreclosure, like filing a temporary bankruptcy or some kind of a hardship. But once it eventually goes to sale, you are buying that home as is. So if you buy it, and it's in decent shape, and Jeff McNutt over here gets pissed off that they took his house and drinks a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue and Black and maybe throws in a little bottle of red on top of it and sledgehammers the whole house, guess what? The new owner has to deal with that. Now, there can be criminal charges brought against Jeff, but you could sue Jeff, but what are you going to get from Jeff? He just lost his home in foreclosure, so obviously he doesn't have any money.
My first thing would advice would be that the minute you close on the sale, purchase insurance, maybe clay and land. We don't know what the situation with the previous insurance was, but it's no longer in force after the default foreclosure sale.
So do you know of underwriters here that will insure a property
clay
that you're buying
land.
At foreclosure?
Clay and land, absolutely.
Okay, so they'll insure it.
I've worked
with
George
Edmiston
at Clay and Land for years.
Okay.
Good so you
people.
Can mitigate your risk of
correct.
Damage by doing that. So if they sledgehammer the whole house, Clay and Land will pay
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
But if you're buying the house sight unseen, you don't know, you really can't prove that they sledgehammered the house because you don't know what condition it was in before we got
that's
the,
correct.
You
but you
I'm
want
saying?
What I call HUMINT, human intelligence, eyes on the ground that feed you information. People live in the neighborhood, other nickel and dime people that nobody pays attention to that can tell you the condition of the house.
What's your experience with the foreclosures? Is it usually, I mean, people under, I mean.
It runs the gamut. I've seen everything from concrete poured down bathroom drains. I've seen cabinets destroyed, appliance ripped out, air conditioning is ripped out.
But I mean, for the most part, people just accept what's happened to them.
Correct, or else the person in default is no longer alive, so there's no one to cure the default in the house.
Correct.
Or husband and wife getting divorced. They don't care. They just
correct.
Both abandon the house and just let the bank take
that
it.
That is entirely true.
Concrete
so, yeah,
down the drain.
I know. I didn't think
you
of that.
You thought I was doom and gloom, man.
Well, that's
I never
pretty
even
bad.
Thought of that one. That's creative.
I've seen everything.
Wow.
So I guess at this point, so I get calls all the time for people that want to, I'd like to buy foreclosures. You can get good deals on foreclosures. And I caution them. It's like you're buying a sight unseen home. You don't know the condition of the interior. You don't know the condition it's going to be once the tenant vacates. There's a lot of what ifs. So you've got to build in your numbers. And then on top of those numbers, you got to throw in a 20% just holy crap percentage because they did something. They took all the light fixtures. They took all the sinks out. They took the bathtubs, whatever, toilets.
If I may, to mitigate that, I've got a couple of friends in code enforcement throughout the city, Bartlett, Cairoville, Germantown, Memphis, that I talk to give me an update if the property has violations on it. If it has violations, they can tell me in 2 minutes flat, we let it lay.
What do you mean violations?
Tree on a house, roof destroyed, you know, uninhabitable for whatever reason. You don't want to go in an environmental court for somebody else's mistake.
So, you know, the way I would think to mitigate that risk, because let's face it, I mean, you sent me a list of foreclosures that have big spreads in them, right? And if you truly can pick one of these up and put $30,000 into it and make that kind of a spread on it, that's a hell of a deal. But I also know there's a lot of unknowns. Slab could be sinking. I mean, you could have all kinds of variable problems that need to be dealt with.
That's understood.
So in that event, my assumption would be is that on the day of foreclosure, if we know it's going to the auction, that before the auction starts, someone go to that home and offer compensation to those people. Should they agree to move out and we're gonna auction it. If we get it today, we're gonna give you 30 days to move, and once you broom sweep that house out, we're gonna write you a check for $5,000.
Cash for keys.
That's it.
I've done that in the past. With
tell about better than shooting somebody.
Would it be,
of course.
Hey, Nate, would it be unwise to assume that some of these foreclosures that you're sending us, they're more of what I would call B neighborhoods. You know, we pick them up for 140 after rehab value, 280, 300. Would it
no.
be unwise for me to assume that people in a B neighborhood would take better care of a house than somebody that I'm renting?
Yes, that's a reasonable assumption, and
that's
I think
fair.
That holds true.
Is it fair?
Well, that's fair, but at the same time, I hunt in specific zip codes that I like where I know we can sell it. If I wouldn't want to live there, I wouldn't want anybody else to, and that's fair.
And Nick, if you're taking a 3-2, 4-2 bedroom house in Cordova that we picked up for
$30,000
that's got an ARV of 300, that's a pretty good spread. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean,
well, it really depends. I mean,
even if you went down into a 2,300 square foot house and gutted it back down to the studs, you're not looking at $80,000 renovation, are you?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I would say on the average renovation that we do, you know, even if you had to put a roof on it, paint throughout, cabinets, countertops, you know.
Bathrooms.
Yeah,
all new light fixtures.
$40,000-$50,000
yeah.
should be able to.
I was close. $30,000.
You get 140. You get a house for 140.
You're all in a 190 with a $300,000 mark on it, and you drop it.
And
you drop it to 290,
20,
sell it quick, put $80,000 in your pocket, walk away.
And then we add 20% to his number for the yeah. gotchas.
Yeah.
And those are win-wins.
Right.
Well, but if you don't mind, how do you tie into all of this? Like, how does your company?
I get information from lenders and people that I know around town about property, and we will make the new loan on the property for whoever buys it. If you don't want to spend a 6% commission, you can pay a 1% origination fee and some attorney fees. Now, I don't want to cut anybody's paycheck, obviously, but whatever the cheapest alternative for the maximum yield is.
Sure. So basically, Nate has been funneling foreclosure lists to me. We've been dancing around a few numbers, playing with some ideas, and we've got a business partner who, for lack of a better word, has a lot of money and has done well for himself, and he's decided to put up a bunch of money for us to buy some of these and flip them. So we're going to work on that and kind of see. You'll be doing the work, by the way.
Well, good. And yeah. I also want to see this list myself.
No worries.
So what you'll do is we'll pick them up and we'll send them to you after we're done marking them up 15 or 20%.
Oh, God, hang on. As long as everybody makes money and everybody wins.
No, actually, our plan is just to buy one and try do a system, right?
Well,
do a formula and figure out the box that everything needs to fit into, and just go down a list next time and say, all right, if it doesn't fit in this box, we strike it off. Just go through it and find one.
Nate's going to send them to me, and if I'll keep them, I'll keep them. If I don't like them, I'll give them to you, and then all you got to do is pay me a $5,000 finder's fee.
As long as the numbers still work, I'm good with it.
Of course. Well, if I may.
Actually, though, Nick, it's a situation where we're going to, once we get our system built, we're going to go through all of these, and we're not going to pick up all the ones that work. So I'd rather filter them off to you. Y'all can do them, but obviously Jeff and I have already talked to Greg. You're going to be the rehab guy on all of these. So yeah, it'll be a big mix for all of us. We'll all be working as a team on this. But
of course,
my thing is, listen, Trey and I in Louisiana used to buy tons of foreclosures, and man, we learned the hard way on a lot of stuff, right?
Of course.
So I want to make sure on this round, buying foreclosures is not just as simple as going down and getting a great deal on a house at the courthouse steps. There's so many aspects to it that could change your numbers. If they trash the house after you bid 160 on it and got the bid, well, guess what? Now you've added another 20 or 25 grand to your,
that's correct,
to your rehab bid, and now your numbers shrink. So there's
you're going to do that 1 out of 10. That's just going to happen.
It's going to happen. But so I think on our first one, we're going to set up a buy box. Parameter box, and if it fits in there, that we're going to seriously consider. If it doesn't, strike it off, move to the next one. I want to be in specific neighborhoods where resale values are high, where resale is easier. But I guess at this point, if any of our listeners are interested in maybe doing foreclosures, if we get this system up and running, you can call us at 901-692-7401, and we will be glad to hook you up with opportunity like that, because like I said, we're only a couple of guys are going to be doing this. The most we're going to pick up are 2 or 3 a month, and there's hundreds of them out there. So feel free to get in touch with us.
If I may, and this is just my 2 cents, worst case is one is canceled. It just goes in the back of the book, so you watch it until the next one comes up.
Right. Yeah, we have one that just got canceled.
We have two that just got canceled.
How'd they probably get canceled?
Brought the loan current or something.
Owner
gave them 3 or 4 payments, and then they said, okay, you gave us this, and then we'll cancel the sale.
Well, Nate, or file bankruptcy. A lot of times people will file
that's true.
A bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Let me ask
happens.
You a more specific question. Exactly how does this bidding process work? Are Brett and I going to have to go down to the courthouse steps and bid? Are there large groups of people out there?
It depends on what the day is.
Or can I give you my highest and best offer for these three houses or 160? And just give you that.
Well, you send somebody to represent the lender down there with a cashier's check to the attorney, and we establish what we will pay and what we will not pay before we go down there. And then because I know the auctioneers as a lender, and they know my word is good, and then whoever sends me with a cashier's check on the day of the auction, and God willing, we get it the best price, the best bid, then your LLC is the new owner.
So basically,
okay, so Brett and I don't go down there.
You can if you want to.
Nah, I've been down there.
But Brett, you said something over the weekend about, you know, we'll just make our highest and best offer. Let's say the property's 140.
Yeah. So what you would want to do?
So we're going to offer 160, just blanket on all.
No,
these
what you
homes.
Want to do is you get a cashier's check for 160,
and
you start the bid at 140, whatever that number is going to start at, and you bid up, and our final high number is 160. So if somebody goes 159, we go 160. If somebody goes 161, we're like, we're out.
You're right.
And we take the cashier's check, put it back in the bank.
And if I may, God willing, you are the winning bid. Any overage is refunded to you on a cashier's check the next day.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what I'm saying. We would determine our highest bid amount that we're willing to go. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have to do this a couple of times.
How often do these auctions come up?
I have information. They're once a week.
Literally once a week?
Correct.
Almost. Okay.
But we're going to work on a different system to try to approach some of these ahead of the auction to ensure we don't get trashed houses, to ensure, and it costs us a little more money, but we can, that's what Trey and I used to do. We dealt with homeowners prior to sale. After we got our butts kicked a bunch of times, after bidding on stuff, we decided, let's just go knock on the door, and we started doing
that. I had a lot of success after OA doing that.
So let's talk more about the foreclosure process. So the bank files the foreclosure, goes to the courthouse steps. You auction, you bid on it, you win the bid, you give them the cashier's check, they give you back the balance or whatever you didn't use. So from that point, how does the title transfer at that point? Because here's several issues that I'm concerned about. IRS liens. A lot of times IRS liens go with the house. They don't get stripped during a foreclosure. All other liens do, but an IRS lien does not.
Here's what I do is I have a couple of title attorneys that I talk to make sure there's no IRS liens. And if they're low enough that I have a CPA that can negotiate with the IRS and get them settled or removed, if they are low enough. If they're $100,000, $50,000, you let that house lay.
Okay. So if IRS tax lien against it, you say no. It's just not
worth it. Is that the only lien you need to be concerned about?
Well, there's also, but if you got a house
getting the properties,
if I may, you don't want excessive back taxes for city and county if they have not paid that escrow. So the whole thing, obviously, you don't want, $5,000 in city taxes or whatever, or $10,000 city taxes, and then the next day you get a knock on the door that they sold a house at tax foreclosure sale because they didn't pay the taxes.
You're going to advise us on all that, right?
Absolutely. I have my attorney.
So property taxes and IRS taxes don't get stripped from the property in foreclosure sale?
No.
Okay. So obviously due diligence is important with IRS liens and city taxes.
Am I going to take title to these properties with the general warranty deed, or are they just quit claiming it to us?
It is a substitute trustee deed, and then after the sale, you file with your attorney for the new title. It costs about $200.
Okay. Okay. You're okay with
title
that?
Well, as long as we get a look at the title and make sure there's no back taxes from the city or county,
obviously,
or we decide, it's only $1,000, so let's bid on the house and we'll pay the city.
I really didn't understand what you said. So it's not a quit claim.
It is a substitute trustee deed,
which is just as good as a general warranty deed. Once you file and pay the processing fee.
That's correct.
With exception of taxes, IRS. And city and county taxes.
Correct.
Property taxes. That's crazy. They can take it and auction it off and strip all the mortgages and liens against it except for taxes.
Yes.
The government's going to get theirs, buddy.
I know.
There it is.
No matter what.
So what happens if we decide we're going to go auction, we're going to go bid on the house 2 days from now? Title attorney looks at it today and goes, well, if there's no liens, no taxes, it's clear to go. And then we go to auction on Friday. We win the bid. And so happened on Thursday, the IRS filed a lien against the property for $100,000 tax debt.
They can no longer do it because the title is no longer in the name of the person.
But if they
defaulted.
Did it the day before the auction, they can.
They can, that's true. But I would obviously talk to the attorney that's doing the title search and make sure that possibility was not available.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. There's some alligators you got to pay attention. And listen, the only reason I'm bringing these up is because me and Trey, we bought hundreds of these a year. Down in New Orleans, Baton Rouge.
But sure. Nate's going to advise us all the way through this process on whichever home we're interested in.
Well, we got caught with situation just like that. Literally 4 days before the auction, we cut a deal with the homeowner, killed the foreclosure, bought the property. But before we closed and transpired, there was an $82,000 IRS tax lien got placed against the property.
Of course.
Now, all of a sudden, we've got a $150,000 house with an $82,000 tax lien against it. It took us 3 years and a lot of money with an attorney to get that released and get that
That'll
off.
Blow your rehab budget.
Yeah. It screwed it big time. Yeah, so that house ended up being a rental property for 3 years until we could get it cleared enough to sell it and unload it.
Sure.
I think what would be smart is anybody thinking about buying foreclosures, number one, call us, 901-692-7401, or go to our website, mymemphisinvestmentproperties.com. But I think getting a good real estate attorney involved in your process is extremely important. And we talked to David over at Titan, and he's given us some guidance and advice. But, of course, nothing's perfect. There are those I can't believe that happened moments in real estate. And foreclosures have a lot of those opportunities simply because of the timing and what happens. So how many people are at the auction bidding?
It varies on the day. Sometimes there's nobody. Sometimes there's a few people. Sometimes there's three or four folks that are the main bidders. It just varies on what the situation is. I've seen houses that nobody has bid on that have been repossessed with an equity of $100,000, you know, that the bank made a fortune on.
So there's a few regulars out there that you...
That's of course.
You'll get to know and...
Oh, yes, but the whole thing
what
is...
What they bid and their habits and all that.
Well, my difference is to have intelligence on those people so I know if they're coming or not and what their situation is.
So we show up and we're the only ones there.
Then God willing, we get it.
And they start the bidding process at 140 and we give them
140. We know what the writ amount is, which it's is where ours. Usually they start the bidding process.
Is that easy?
My software will calculate the estimated loan balance and then we compare notes with the attorney so we know roughly what the starting point opening bid should be.
Well, I would think that anybody listening to this episode who's interested in buying a foreclosure should get in touch with us. I think we got a nice little system we're putting together here.
We got the expert Nate in here, man. It's going to
We want to industrialize the process.
What's your cell phone number and your website?
It's eaglememphis.com, and I have a network of folks across town to keep me informed on property. Also a mortgage lender. If you want to buy, we'll get you qualified. We'll also refinance any higher rate loans you need to get those payments down. And the phone number is 901-761-9700.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to wrap this episode up. And remember, 901-692-7401 or MyMemphisInvestmentProperties.com. Please give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.